Welcome to the Inside Out Podcast, a podcast for and by alumni and the current students of sports studies. The study ISMB International Sports Management and Business and the Dutch counterpart SMNO Sports Management and Ondernemen. Fantastic to have you listen in today. My name is Ross.
And my name is Brad. We are current ISMB students and today we have Julia Kutoff. Pleasure to have you here today, Julia.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. Really good.
How's things? It's really exciting to have you on the show. You're actually our most recent graduate, so congratulations on that.
I heard that. 2019.
I know, you've just finished.
Yeah, just finished.
So even though you're just finished, there's still a lot to tell.
Yeah.
And we're going to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. How did you find our course? How did you find ISMB?
So first, I before I applied for ISMB, I did a communication course abroad. In Belgium,
okay,
in Antwerp especially, but after a few months, I already knew that it wasn't my passion. They had some sport and event aspects on the course, but it was not that it was like, yeah, that's what I want to do in the future. So after 3 months, I quit, and I was looking on the internet, and I really enjoyed Belgium, and Antwerp was a really nice city. Mm-hmm. But I just Googled event management, sport management, and I saw ISMB and also SMNO.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time I heard from this course, and then it was pretty recent study. Pretty new, yeah. So I doubted about both courses, of course, because I'm Dutch.
Of course, like being a Dutch person, yeah. But then going for the international version, was there a key reason in that?
Yeah, I really doubted because I didn't feel really confident about my English, but I really enjoyed the international aspect of ISMB. So actually, I just applied for both.
Oh, okay.
Both courses. And I just got selected for the English one. I'm like, yeah, should I do it or should I wait for the application of the SMNO?
Yeah.
But then I just took a leap of faith and just applied for the English one. And it was really nice to have those international aspects, also with international internships and all that stuff. And also to improve my English.
Yeah, true. Well, That's fate talking already. There's a reason why you got into the ISMB and not the SMNO. And you talk about the international aspect and going different places, and we will get onto that. But first of all, what was it like to be surrounded by internationals in your course? What was it like to be surrounded by all these different nationalities and people with weird accents like we have?
Yeah. First, it was different, of course, because at the talk English the whole time, and of course I did my study in Belgium for 3 months, but it was all in Dutch.
Okay.
So it was I really had to put a lot of effort in it, also with writing those essays and all that stuff. But it was really nice to get to know different cultures as well and different people. So it was really nice to experience that. So my first year was not tough, but I had to
adjust.
Yeah, adjust, and it was challenging at some points because, like, a lot of people doing this course, they are half English or just fluently English. So that was for me was really stepping out of my comfort zone. But in the second and third and fourth year was
you eased into
yeah.
I mean, stepping outside your comfort zone, that's our famous ISMB phrase. So you've already got that one in, that's ticked off.
Before I started, yeah.
Exactly. But is there anything key that like sticks out that in your mind, an example or something that happened? You mentioned the challenges in the first year. Is there anything that you can think of that happened?
Not specific specific things, but when we talk about, for example, the internships, my first internship was in Bangkok. So that was really a key learning point, like stepping into a new culture, meeting all those different kind of people there and working in an international environment, professional environment. That was the first time I'm like, yeah, this is different than the Dutch culture and the one I used to work in.
Yeah, I think stepping out of your comfort zone is definitely evident in Bangkok. What made you make that decision? What made you choose Bangkok?
Actually, first of all, I wanted to go to America to do an internship at a soccer federation.
Oh, cool.
Or soccer club, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
In Florida.
Sick.
Yeah. So I got into the internship, but then my visa didn't go through, so it got declined.
Okay, no more questions about that.
Yeah. So I had to go for another for option B. So then Claire told us about this opportunity to go to Bangkok together with some fellow students.
Cool.
We went to Bangkok with four. We went to the International School of Bangkok, and also part of that was also the Chelsea Soccer Federation. So I still had that connection with football, but then on a different level and in a different country.
True. I've actually been to the Bangkok facility. Yeah? Actually visited some friends there, and it's a fantastic facility first and foremost, but also really cool they integrate the Chelsea club
really,
into that.
It's really
as well.
Big there.
It's huge. I mean, the international school culture in Asia is mad. Yeah. But what did you make of everything? I mean, was it your first time in the international school environment? I mean, first time, obviously, with all these different kids from everywhere.
Yeah.
How did you find that as well?
Yeah, what I just mentioned before, it was really, really, of course, it was not my first choice. Of course, at the end, it was the really good internship
it's
as well.
It's not my second choice.
Yeah, it was really, really, really nice. But of course, at the beginning, you have to adjust to the culture there, and it's a really different working culture. And but we had a lot of good guidance, and what I just said, we were with some fellow ISMB students as well, so we really had to talk about it and exchange experiences in the first couple of weeks. But at the end, when I worked also for the Chelsea Soccer Federation, I thought, yeah, this is what I wanted to do in the future as well, just to be part of an international organization and to be part of to do something with sport and especially with soccer. Yep. Just event management, I really enjoyed.
True, because you mentioned that was one of the reasons you took the course, and then you obviously organized the athletic events at the school. So that kind of gave you a little taste, and with the element of football, which is your passion, you really start to visualize
develop
a
that
career.
As well. Yeah, and yeah, that was also the point that I thought, like, okay, for the third and fourth internship, I wanted to do something with event management because I really got energy from organizing those kind of events and doing that and do all the preparations. Yeah.
So you've done this internship in Bangkok.
Yeah.
You're sitting here, you're looking back on that time. We've mentioned you had a lot of fun. I'm sure you definitely had a lot of fun outside the school and inside. Yeah. What's your biggest learning point from Bangkok?
My biggest learning point from Bangkok is that I really realized there when I did this internship, and of course what I just mentioned, it was really nice and really great experience, but I realized that I first wanted to develop myself more professionally in Netherlands and just to get a career here. And I don't know why, but it was a key turning point there. That I was just, okay, I want to really do this. I really enjoy it. But I first want to learn it on a smaller scale and then expand it more internationally, maybe in the future.
And obviously the culture in the Netherlands is very different over in Bangkok. How was it, you know, the first going over there, and how was the integration into Bangkok?
Of course, I did a lot of traveling with my parents, and I also went to different countries in Asia. So I knew the culture there, in the beginning, you're there for like when your parents are there for holiday, and now you're there for work. So it's you have to get integrated in a working environment. So the first couple of weeks, it was it was challenging because you they have a different kind of way of working, and of course I was together with one fellow student at the same school, Will.
Funny you mention Will. I think we actually have a short clip.
Nice.
Here he is.
Hi, Julia. Hope you're doing well. It's been a while since we've talked, but I just wanted to wish you congratulations for everything you've achieved so far. I remember when we were working together in Bangkok, you managed to always be on top of your stuff. You managed to keep me in line when I was not behaving. Your hard work that I saw that you do there was a testament of who you were going to become. And that's clearly shown in the achievements that you've done since. I think wishing you all the best for your work at Canva Bay. I'm going to follow you very closely and all the best for the future.
Aww.
Pretty cool,
so
eh?
Cool. Yeah, Will, yeah. Yeah, I went with him to the same international school in Bangkok. Really nice.
That's amazing. And I think you mentioned you were keeping him in line. Do you want to maybe expand on that or what?
I'm not sure if he wants to to get this in the open, but at some point, not at some point, but of course there we had a lot of parties and in Bangkok as well, and sometimes we had to wake up early, and then I was like, "Will, get up."
Yeah, where are
in
you?
The same apartment, so yeah, it was really really nice.
He was definitely not escaping you.
No.
As Will's mentioned that you're a very hard worker. You're mm-hmm. you've got your shit in order, as we say. You're pretty process orientated. Was this always the case, or did you learn this through the study?
That's not always the case. If I look back at high school, I was the one who was always late, always doing things last minute, and it's really different because now in my working, if I work and doing the events and stuff, I'm really, really in making to-do lists, schedules, and everything. Yeah, 2 weeks in front, everything is done, and then I can relax. And if there's something coming up, I can just react on it. So I'm not that last minute anymore. And during high school and all the and also during ISMB, I was I have to finish my essay one because of the deadline in 1 hour or something like that. But no, not in my working. But maybe also because of the passion I have with this work. I know that if I really enjoy doing something, I really wanted to succeed and really, because it's at some point, like at high school, you have some subjects like, boring and you just do it. But for this, I just want to succeed and just be 110% and be really structured. Yeah.
So obviously you're a really recent graduate. Actually, I've most recent graduate we've had on the podcast, graduating in just 2019. So, and you mentioned that like your life has changed. You know, you've got new traits, new personality traits. Yeah. But how has life altogether changed since graduating?
So my overall life changed because of the because you have the responsibilities now, and you of course if you are in school, it's different because you have to get your credits, and of course it you want to succeed that as well, but with work it's different because you want to succeed, you have the responsibilities, so it's really different than your student life. You go to bed early, just stupid example, but you really wanted to be on top of things.
Want to succeed.
Yeah. I want to succeed, yeah.
And you also graduated during the COVID-19 pandemic. So how was that? Any difficulties, any challenges?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2019. So I had nearly one year of full season work, which I, how I can say it. And then in 2020, in March, COVID pandemic occurred. So it was so weird because I was so busy. I just graduated, and then I just directly I had my full-time job also at the during my graduation internship, but then graduation just directly go on with my job. And then during that pandemic, it was nothing. Like everything was canceled. I had European qualifying tournaments for the youth, friendly matches. Everything was fully planned, and then everything just stopped. It was so weird.
And as an event organizer,
yeah,
worst nightmare.
Yeah, it was the worst nightmare. I was like, wow, what is happening? It was so weird. I was just behind my laptop. I'm like, there's no email coming in. It was so weird because you have to cancel everything, of course, that you're really busy with that. And then after a while, of course, with the youth matches, they got canceled a long time. Last year is the first time that we just started again. So it was so weird just to do barely nothing.
Yeah, and one of your key traits I think that's come through is that you're quite a proactive person.
Yeah.
And I think that shone through during COVID because you didn't sit around and do nothing. You actually went out there and made something of it, and you had a role within the Euro 2020s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you explain a bit more about what you did?
Yeah. So during the pandemic, the first three four months, it was really was nothing to do for in event branch, in event world. So after a few months, I got the opportunity to just work at different departments, just to see, just to help out other people at the KNVB. And then the opportunity occurred for the Euro 2020. So my former manager was part of the project group of Amsterdam, so of the Euro 2020 Amsterdam project group. And he just asked me if I want to join the group.
Okay.
And there were some several jobs available, mm-hmm, for a couple of months.
Yep.
And I was part of the venue logistic team in and around the Amsterdam Arena. So during the whole
tournament.
Yeah. So.
And you were given some responsibility. That was your kind of first taste of major responsibility. How did it feel? How did you manage that?
Yeah, it was really cool to just be part of such a big. You cannot imagine how much work and how much work there is during that kind of event. It's such a big event, and of course it was during the pandemic as well, so we couldn't.
So many measures you have to follow. So there was not
100% audience allowed. So there was 60% two-thirds of the audience was allowed, but still it was so cool to just be part of that organization and to see it from close by. Of course, I know how it is, how the organization is of a first man of the first man team, the matches. Uh-huh. But this is a different level.
But you're so structured, and yet you had to be so flexible, I guess. So how was balancing that?
Yeah, it was weird. Just the transition from what I just mentioned earlier about being fully planned for the whole year and then doing nothing. It was so weird to get a rhythm in that. So it was really nice to have this opportunity. Had this opportunity to just work at the Euro 2020 to just expand also. My international relations there, also with UEFA and the FIFA, of course. So that was really nice.
So you spoke to people from UEFA and different federations and foundations. How key was that skill of networking, getting to know people and just talking to people?
Yeah, that was really nice. Also to get to know those people and to learn about their careers, how they came to this point of their career. That was really inspiring as well, because of course one day you wanted to be on the top and to be part of to have a bigger role in that kind of organizations of those big events. So it would be amazing.
It's clear that networking is one of your biggest skills and attributes. Have you got any tips for students and how to network and how you did it?
Yeah, I think the biggest tip is just to be proactive. That's also the thing I learned during the 4 years of ISMB, and also the thing I learned when I got this job, just to be proactive, just do it and step out of your comfort zone and just go to that person who you find inspiring. Just ask them what did you do to get to this point, and can you give me some tips or get in touch with the right people.
we've mentioned all the positives about you meeting all these people and such a cool event that you were a part of, such a big thing. But there's also some downfalls. I'm sure there's one mm-hmm. key moment or something that happened that you were really upset about that kind of touched you. Could you maybe explain a bit more about that?
Of course. So what I mentioned earlier was that I got this job in 2019. So that was my first year of just being in this professional environment and doing the job I really wanted to do. It was, for me, it's my dream job. I really like, I've enjoyed doing this.
So what was the title of that job, by the way? I don't think we've said that yet. What was the title?
There's not especially a title for it, but I'm responsible for all the, let's say project leader of all the youth matches, of the international matches played in the Netherlands.
Okay, cool.
All the youth teams.
And then carry on. Sorry, I interrupted.
So of course, this first year, in the first years of your career, you wanted to show what you got, and you wanted to succeed again. And you wanted to show yourself that you're able to do this. So, after 1 year of doing the events, you do, it was really nice. But then at the point when it when the COVID occurred. Everything was canceled. You're like,
what do I work for?
Yeah, where do I work for? What is my purpose now? And I really felt lost in a way. From like, you don't know how long it takes. We first thought of maybe a couple of months, so we just cancel a few tournaments, and then maybe in September 2020 we can start again, and we just prepare everything for September, and then it got canceled again, and it got postponed again. So. That was, it was really shit, actually. Just to, you didn't know when it started again, especially with the youth matches, of course, with the first man and the 21 and first woman team. They started quite after a half year or something like that,
yeah,
with their matches without any audience. But for the youth, it was not possible. Oh, so, so that was really shitty because, of course, you helped. I just did the job at 2020, and I helped other colleagues in my department with the events.
Yeah.
But you want to do your own thing as well, just to prove that you can do it. So I just talked about that with my manager as well. Like, you wanted to show yourself now, and it's not possible because of COVID. And of course, if you work for 10, 15 years in a company, and this thing will happen, of course, it's really shit as well. If you're in your start of your career,
yeah, you're not getting to prove yourself yet.
No,
you never got that chance.
Yeah,
and how important is that then? You being open with your manager, the people that you work with. I mean, for current students to sit down and say, "Listen, I'm actually really struggling with this. Could you help me out?"
Yeah.
What was that conversation?
I think I'm really open with my manager as well. My manager was also really really open with that. So he really asked me, "How are you feeling?" Are you struggling with this situation? And I'm really open to him. I'm really struggling. I wanted to prove myself, and there's no possibility to do that. What can I do? Or just to have a chat with your manager about that. It's really important because otherwise you will just keep it for yourself, and you will. Yeah, I don't know. If I will keep it to myself, I will get.
Stressed
and
a bit anxious about what's going on. You're not sure, the uncertainty.
Yeah, yeah. It was really a lot of months. I really felt not insecure, but maybe maybe a bit insecure also about my job.
Okay.
Because I didn't have my permanent contract yet, so it was a flexible contract of 40 hours.
Mm.
So I was so that's also the point. You wanted to prove yourself because you want to have a permanent contract and at the federation you really enjoyed working for.
Yeah, your dream.
Yeah, your dream. And then this happens, you don't have any, you can't do anything about it. And
I think a lot of people can relate at the start of their career, a bit of insecurity. Where do I fit in?
Yeah.
What role do I excel at? If you're not able to prove yourself yet, almost trying too hard, but there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. And if you really enjoy it, and then you're really insecure about getting a permanent contract, there's a lot of stress in the first couple of years of my career, but in the first couple of years working.
Was there a point you had to look yourself in the mirror and you said you kind of lost your purpose and stuff? How did you re-find your purpose? Do you have a clear purpose now?
Of course, for now, for the couple, for the upcoming 5 years or 10 years, of course, I wanted to work here. So my purpose is here at the football federation I'm working at, because I want to improve and to just develop myself more, to do the bigger teams, also to do maybe one day organize the first man.
First team, you mean?
The first team, yeah. The man of the women, doesn't matter, but just to organize a big event in a big stadium like the arena, for example. But I think in like last year, the corona disappeared a bit, the COVID. I refound my purpose. Like, oh yeah, I really enjoy doing this. So just organizing the event, being there. During events, doing matches, and just be in contact with the local clubs, and yeah.
From what I can understand, a lot of your purpose in life at the moment revolves around your job and your work. However, I have a really interesting Japanese concept called ikigai, and this looks at what people's purpose is in life, and it splits into four different areas. One of the areas is something that you're really passionate about. Another area is like what makes you income, what makes you money. Something that you can give back to the world, and also something that, you know, really relates to you, what you really love. Do you think you know what your ikigai is yet, outside of life?
Good one. I find that a difficult question, deep question as well. But I think my passion is also my work, of course, because I'm really passionate about my work. And I think next to it, if you take to a bigger scale, making people happy and entertain people, and just also with the events I'm organizing, you're entertaining people, you're making people happy, you give them an experience. Something like that. I'm not really sure what actually is my purpose now in life. But at this point, I think, yeah, making people happy, give them an experience, of course, in also on a bigger scale.
So you really value experiences and giving people experiences.
Yeah.
And would you say through
making people happy and just entertain people, and if you are part of that, you get a lot of energy back as well.
Yeah. So giving back to people, and then it returns to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a powerful lesson in itself, I guess. What you put out into the world is a lot of the time what you get back, and good energy. Mm-hmm. Can you actually say so far of what you've been doing, to take a moment of reflection, are you proud of what you've achieved so far?
I am really proud of what I achieved, especially because of the fact that I got this job because I was really proactive. Yeah. So that's really proud of. So and also the events and the responsibility I get, and the development I'm going through at the moment. Also to be part of some bigger events at the KNVB.
Can you share them with us, or is it top secret information?
No, it's not top secret. But I during the first team, the women team, I assist the project leader with different tasks, entertainment part, and all that kind of stuff. That's really nice to just do your own events, but also to be part of the bigger, because you can learn from your colleagues as well.
Peers.
How are they leading a project like that, and how are they doing it? And they will, yeah. Of course, I ask them for tips as well, and how I can develop myself to a project leader of a first team.
Yeah, so you're not afraid to ask.
No, Never.
That's another good one.
And ask them for feedback.
Oh yeah.
Also, my manager just asked them like, yeah. What can I do? What can I do better? What is going good? What's going bad? Or how can I improve myself? Because, yeah.
Are you good at taking constructive feedback?
Yeah.
There was a slight pause there.
It depends how it of course, if it's constructive, of course, but if you say this is not good, this is not good, that is not good, yeah, then I'm also like, okay,
tone it
calm down.
Down
and but at the end,
it's better for the long run.
It's better for the long run, yeah.
But also that comes with responsibility, you know, that when you do something that requires a lot of people that are involved, you're going to get scrutinized a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
How have you dealt with the higher responsibility in this job? Because you said you started off with an assistant for all the youth and organizing all those events, but now what do you do in your role? Could you explain what you do and the difference of responsibility now?
So now I'm still responsible for all the international matches in the Netherlands who are played by the youth teams. So that's still my main job.
Right.
And due to COVID, that was paused for like 2 years.
Okay.
So I'm just restarting yet again and organizing European qualifying tournaments and all those UEFA related tournaments, which is different than a friendly match, of course.
Yeah.
So actually those responsibilities are still the same. And I think that will be for the next couple of months as well, because a lot of tournaments are ahead. But maybe in the future, maybe a few years from now, I hope I can make the step to the bigger teams and just to organize tournaments and matches in stadiums as well.
Just going back on that point, you have a lot of responsibilities and a really high profile position.
Yeah.
How do you go about dealing with the stress of those positions?
I think that's maybe also the thing we were talking about earlier is I'm really structured. So really have those to-do lists, those schedules, and all the things I wanted to check off if I done with it.
Are you a list maker?
Yeah, I'm a list maker. Just to get it structured in my head. So of course, I have sometimes some things you cannot foresee that happen during the organization of a match. But if you're really structured and you're just on top of things and just organize it, for example, just 1 week before you're done with all the preparation, then in that week, if something happens or you didn't foresee, you can just react on that. Then otherwise you have to do your preparations and resolve that problem and everything at the same point. That's really stressful, but... yeah, I think in the beginning for me it was you have to find your way. From now I'm working there about 3 years, so now I have some working experience, so I know how to handle things. But in the first year it was like I was stressed, yeah, because you're there and just out in the open, and it's the first time you're responsible alone for those matches, and the UEFA is there, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, all this.
Yeah, all those people want something from you, and you have to succeed. And so that's the first year was challenging.
Was tough.
Was tough.
Well, look at you now.
Yeah.
Look at you now. But I think also we're kind of divulging into your role now and what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
Before we actually forget about our course, we've got a few more things to talk about. That we actually have another video for you. Here we go.
I hope that you're doing well, and I wanted to share a small message just to talk about what a hardworking and kind person you are. You put 110% into your work and into your projects. I saw that when we went to ESM together. You're also there for people, level-headed, and can take control of a situation. And you should be so proud of yourself. So I hope you keep it up. I hope everything's going great, and good luck with your future.
That's so nice as well.
You just came here for the compliments.
Yeah.
That's all you came for.
Yeah, we really had a really nice trip together with Jan to ESM. And there was also actually stepping out of your comfort zone
again.
There. Really nice to go there and just meet fellow students in sport management courses.
Because she mentioned level-headed, and you're talking about all stress, so you give yourself a bit more credit for that. But taking control of the situation, you went, you met all these people. How much did you learn there at this student conference and meeting all these international people that you then applied to networking and then in your job just now?
I learned a lot there. Also, just speaking in front of people in English.
Yeah.
Because we had a presentation and stuff at the end of the ESM conference.
Oh wow.
In front of all the people there, so I really learned that just to get. Yeah, of course, maybe it's a small thing, but just to give a presentation in English for me was a big step
yeah,
because
cool.
it was my first year, I think, when I was in my second year, something like that.
Okay.
When I was at ISMB, so you don't have that much experience yet with giving presentations and stuff, and talk English in general. So for me, it was really nice to just go there and learn that and network with people and
another experience
again,
that shaped you becoming more confident as an individual and as a professional. It's also cool that she's still saying that years later after the trip.
Yeah.
And how long were we there for? A week. And she's just saying that she already picked up all those qualities.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah. So kind. Yeah. Nice.
But those qualities you've applied, we've mentioned your first internship, you've mentioned your jobs, but you also did another internship at the KNVB, which I don't think we need to go into because we've talked about that a lot, but you did one at the Swimming Federation, the KNZB.
Yeah. Different federation.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. How was the culture difference there?
Of course, the Football Federation is a really big organization with, I think, 500 people in total around the Netherlands. And the Swimming Federation was really, really small. So we were working with a few people at the office, but I also did something with event management, organizing a water polo event.
Oh, nice.
In Utrecht, in one of the canals.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So cool. it was really nice. But it was so small. So the difference was so big for like working at a big federation or working at a small federation. For me, it was also a learning problem. What do I want to do? Do I want to work for the big federation and to have the possibilities there, or to work for a smaller federation? And of course, working for a big federation, you have some set guidelines you have to work in, you know. So and at a smaller federation, you have your own vision. You can just enhance your own vision, and so that was really a difference between those two federations. But at the end, I thought swimming is not my passion. I never did swimming. I don't like swimming, actually.
Great, that's out on air now, so everyone knows.
No. So my passion for football was bigger, and if you're both in both event departments, then I would just follow my passion for football. And
I think that's a really important message, follow your passion. I think one really interesting thing as well, typically an ISMB student is pushed to go abroad and study internationally. And I know you got that experience with Bangkok, but both your graduations and your final year were in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
What was the reason behind that?
Yeah, so why I did my both internship in my third year and my graduation internship in the Netherlands was because I wanted to first get a career here. I just start my career here, do the networking here, develop myself professionally here in the Netherlands. And I got the opportunity to have this flexible contract during my graduation internship. So for me, there were the few points of why I wanted to stay here. And of course, maybe in the future, I wanted to go abroad and maybe go for an international career. But now I'm really on my, like, this is really nice to work in this federation. It's really comfortable to just develop myself maybe in 5-10 years. I'm not sure.
But I know you mentioned earlier that one of your big passions is traveling and actually.
Yeah.
So was that maybe a difficult decision, or, you know, do you maybe regret parts of it, not going abroad, or are you comfortable with your choice?
I'm okay with this now. because of maybe also because I'm in the start of my career. So here I can develop myself a lot. I have the responsibilities here. I can do what I like. So if I start my career here and just network and just develop myself, I can use that in the future for an international career.
Yep.
Otherwise, you just go into a country I never been to and just starting over again. For me, it was a big step. So that's also why I just chose for the Netherlands first for a couple of years. Maybe your opportunity will arise and I will get a chance at UEFA or something like that. But then again, I have this experience, my working experience here. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think UEFA will be listening to this podcast. So. We're almost coming to the end of our podcast. I think Brad's got one more question to ask you.
Yeah, so myself and Ross are quickly approaching graduating now. And as you've already graduated and had so many experiences and very inspiring stories so far, do you have any advice for current ISMB students and SMNO students?
I think the most important advice I can give is if you wanted to achieve something and you're really passionate about something, for example, in your internship and you really are passionate about your internship and you really enjoy the company you're working at, just be a proactive and just ask the manager or something or your supervisor or something like that, just to ask them if there is a possibility to stay or just to develop yourself more after graduate, because you're done then. So if they have job offers or something like that, just ask them, because if you don't ask it, you never know. And that's also the thing I did with this job. I just asked my manager, like, I'm graduated or I will graduate in a few months. Is there a possibility to have more hours or more, get a flexible contract for 40 hours instead of a zero-based contract? And
maybe so, just one piece, one last question. If you could offer your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
Difficult. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone, I think. Just do it and see how what it takes.
Julia, you've finished on that piece of advice. I think it's a great way to end. Thanks so much for taking the time and energy to be a part of the Inside Out podcast, looking back to who you were and forward to who you want to become. To our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we have. We hope you are able to relate to Julia's story and take some inspiration from it. If you have any lingering thoughts, please don't be afraid to get in touch and make sure definitely to give us a follow. The Inside Out podcast on Spotify. Don't miss any episodes. Thanks so much.